Welcome to my audio commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude." Peter says that Christ suffered in his body. This obviously is a reference to the cross. Could be also a reference to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat drops of blood. The text says as if it were drops of blood, but some scholars, even doctors, say he probably did sweat blood. And you know, really, think about it this way. This is God coming down into humanity. The very fact of God entering humanity, sinful as humanity is, and I'm not saying that Jesus' body was sinful, but it was human, and it had the temptation to sin. Jesus had to fight those temptations, and that in itself would be a way of suffering for God in humanity. So Jesus did suffer in his body, and I believe more than just on the cross, although that was the climax. So Peter says, because Jesus suffered in his body, you should arm yourselves with the same attitude that he had while he suffered. The word arm is a military word here. This is a struggle. This is a fight. When we suffer in our bodies, we must act like soldiers, have the same mentality of Jesus, and we suffer through it. Of course, we are soldiers of the cross, but we're not fighting with earthly carnal weapons. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So Jesus suffered in his body. Peter saying, you guys are going to suffer in your bodies. Many of you are already suffering in your bodies, meaning imprisonment, meaning persecution, and meaning execution for some. Laying aside the execution, because if you are executed, you obviously are done away with sin. But if you suffer in your body, then, and if you can endure through that suffering, and rejoice that you have the same attitude of Jesus and that you are following in his footsteps, then with that mentality, I'm going to suggest that Peter is saying sin has very little hold on you anymore if you can endure this kind of suffering. I think this is what Peter is saying here. Of course, we will always be tempted to sin, but enduring bodily suffering sure does away with a lot of sin in our lives. 2. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, Peter's talking about a lifestyle of sin, a lifestyle of living for human desires. He's not saying you will not sin, but if you have suffered in your body, the lifestyle that you live from here on out will be dedicated to Jesus, not dedicated to fulfilling selfish, sinful desires. He's talking about the lifestyle. He is not talking about falling occasionally and sinning occasionally. He goes on to say, verse 3, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." Again, we're talking about a lifestyle here. These people lived in the pagan lifestyles of debauchery, adultery, carousing, orgies, and idolatry. Idolatry and adultery went hand in hand. Sex was a part of their religion. Sexual experiences outside of marriage was a part of the pagan tradition. They had temple prostitutes in those days, both male and female. Having sex at the temple was an act of worship for the polytheistic pagan. And Peter's saying, you've left that lifestyle now. So again, we're talking about lifestyles. We're not talking about individual sins. You've left that lifestyle. You're suffering in your body now. And I tell you, Peter says, you've done away with that lifestyle. Verse 4, they, meaning the world, the pagans around you, think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. You know, these Christians were so different from the pagan world around them that they were viewed as strange. And we talked about this earlier, that really those Christians were aliens and strangers in the pagan world in which they lived. And the pagans viewed them as really strange because the Christians did not indulge themselves in the same flood of sin as those around them. And again, you have to realize in these days that there would be sexual orgies in the town squares that would last for days. I mean, major drunken parties in the center of town lasting for days. Sex with anybody and everybody, male or female. And now these pagans practicing such orgies think you're strange because you're not participating. As time goes on in the world today in which we live, our Antichrist culture will view us in the same light. Beginning to do so already. And they heap abuse on you. So they're not only thinking you're strange, but they heap abuse on you because you do not indulge in sin as they are indulging. So when the pride parades take place every summer in every major city in the Western world, and Christians don't participate, well, we are looked at as being strange, but we are now beginning to actually feel abuse from those who oppose us because we do not participate in pride. Verse 5, but they will have to give account to him, meaning to God, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. God is right now, Peter says, ready to judge both those who are living and those who are dead. So when the Lord Jesus returns, there will be those living and there will be those dead, and judgment will come to both groups. And to the pagan world in Peter's day, Peter was saying, you guys, you can think we're strange, you can heap the abuse on us, but your day is coming. Verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This has been a very controversial verse. Martin Luther believed what Peter was saying is when Peter says here, this is the reason the gospel was preached to those who are now dead, he thinks it meant spiritually dead. The gospel was preached to the spiritually dead so that they can be alive in the spirit. That's what Martin Luther thought. I personally don't believe that. I think the dead that Peter is talking about are the dead people. The dead people in Hades, that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 4, 8, 9, and 10, that before Jesus ascended, that is, into heaven, he first descended, as in descended to Hades. And we don't know exactly what he said, but he preached at least to those righteous in the righteous side of Hades, because there were at the time two sides, the righteous and the unrighteous side. He preached to the righteous side, so those dead could, without their bodies, live in the Spirit for the Lord. You will remember in the last chapter of Matthew where it says that some people in Jerusalem saw these dead spirits walking about. It appears that the righteous dead to whom Jesus preached to, they left Hades and on their way to paradise, they dropped into Jerusalem. So I believe that's what Peter is speaking about. He's not talking about spiritually dead people. He's talking about dead people. I believe if he was talking about spiritually dead, he would have made that more plain. That's it for this section.